Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It's good to be gathered this morning to give our praise and worship to God and to give thanks for all of the wonders that we have received from God's gracious hand. As we come, just a couple of brief announcements as we begin. You saw most of these on the screens, but the next Sunday is the important one. Next Sunday is Sunday, and we will be celebrating our kind of back to school and back to the regular patterns of life. So please do plan to be here for that and to come and celebrate. There will be hot dogs and, of course, ice cream for Sunday. And some activities for the children as well. Portions of this morning's service are taken from the Iona community's worship resource that they prepared last year as they were getting ready to celebrate the COP26, the World Environmental Forum in Scotland. So there are our first couple of prayers this morning come from that resource, and we wish to give the Iona community credit for their work. I often make reference to their work and worship from time to time. So it's good to give them their due recognition. As we gather this morning in worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we seek to walk in the light of the Lord. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord to say together the call to worship. Believing that God made and loves the world, that it may be restored to fulfill God's purposes, we pray. To seek a wisdom cheaper than our own, we listen. To honor God who gave us a voice, we worship. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. On this day of rest and gladness, we praise you, Lord God of creation, for the dignity of work and the joy of play, for the challenge of witness and the invitation to delight in your word. Renew our hearts through your Sabbath rest, that we might be refreshed to continue in your work of restoring the world to wholeness. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And our first hymn for this morning is the hymn, Morning is Broken. The words for the hymn will appear before you on the screen.
Incompleteness where his feet
prayer this morning of confession. We slightly renamed it as prayer of reorientation, and it is kind of responsive. It's two big paragraphs. The first one is mine, the second is yours. Let us come before God in prayer as we pray together the words as they appear on the screen. Eternal God, give us hearts to understand, never to take from creation's beauty more than we can give, never to destroy wantonly for the furtherance of greed, never to deny to give our hands for the building of earth's beauty, never to take from her what we cannot use. Give us hearts to understand that to destroy earth's music is to create confusion, that to wreck her appearance is to blind us to beauty, that to callously pollute her fragrance is to make a house of stench, and that as we care for her, we will care for us. Amen. As we come this morning, I promised this morning was going to be the good news sermon after 3 weeks of kind of pretty dire stuff. And I'm going to have to keep reminding myself of that through the preaching this morning. Because like I said a couple of weeks ago, the news has been very kind to the preacher for the last 3 weeks as I've been working through this series. Because every week there's another environmental disaster that we can talk about. It's just been fruit ripe for the picking. But to this day, I promised you that we were going to have good news, that there are answers to some of these problems. And so that's what we're going to put our focus on this morning. And the first answer to that, and one that we can share with young people, is simple, and it's a two-parter. And we'll revisit it in the sermon. But it's simply learn about things, and that's a good thing for us to remember this morning as we're going back to school. And for most of our young people, they'll be going back to science classes, and in science they'll be learning about the patterns of nature and all of the things. And indeed, climate change is becoming part of our school curriculums now as we seek to come to terms with its reality and to mitigate its effects. So learn, be curious and inquisitive, think about things and reflect upon them. And then the other is, and talk to others about it. It's been an interesting reality kind of working through this series that it seems there are places in the world where there's a lot more discussion in this regard going on than perhaps what happens here in our own home, in our own home country or continent. So it's one of those first key steps that any of us can take as we seek to change the world is to start with ourselves and then start to share that change and what's happening with what we're thinking about with other people, not in a forceful sort of way or a rude way, but simply drawing people's attention to things that are going on and how we think we might be part of the solution to them. So that we'll revisit in a second, but that's something as we think about our young people as they go back to school that they can be reflecting upon as well. Let us prepare for Scripture with the prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Holy God, your word is a light in darkness and a source of blessing. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Enliven our hearts and minds as we hear your word for us today. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 35, reading verses 1 to 7. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart. Be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. The second reading is responsive from the Old Testament, Psalm 104, verses 1 to 13, 31 to 35. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty.
Wrapped in light as with a garment, you stretch out the heavens like a tent.
You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind.
You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers.
You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken.
You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains.
At your rebuke they flee. At the sound of your thunder they take flight.
They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them.
You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth.
You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills.
Giving drink to every wild animal, the wild asses quench their thirst.
By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches.
From your lofty abode, you watered the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works.
Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have been.
May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
The next reading comes from the New Testament, Revelation chapter 22, reading verses 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as the crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and its servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord of God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The last reading comes from Matthew chapter 13, reading verses 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus left the house and went to the lakeside, where he sat down to teach. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it, while the crowd stood on the shore. He used parables to tell them many things. Once there was a man who went out to sow corn. As he scattered the seed in the field, some of it fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky ground, where there was little soil. The seed soon sprouted, because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it burnt the young plants, and because the roots had not grown deep enough, the plants soon dried up. Some of the seed fell among thorn bushes, which grew up and choked the plants. But some of the seeds fell into good soil, and the plants produced corn. Some produced 100 grains, others 60, and others 30. And Jesus concluded, "Listen, then, if you have ears." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
His word to us. Our next song of praise is the hymn, "God in Great Love for Us." The hymn is found on page 719 in the Book of Praise, or the words will appear before you on the screen. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we draw to the end of this series on creation and climate change, we, oddly enough, end up where we began, beside cool and refreshing streams. 4 weeks ago, if you can remember back that far, we began this series with a reading from Genesis chapter 2 and that second story of creation that is found in the book of Genesis. And we've heard of those four great rivers that flowed forth from the Garden of Eden, giving life to the whole earth. The Pishon, the Gihon, the Tigris, and the Euphrates. And this morning, we are shown John's great vision of the kingdom of God being reestablished on earth. And central to that vision is the river of the water of life, a river which John says was as bright as crystal, flowing forth from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And on either side of that river is the tree of life with 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. This vision that we're presented with in John chapter 22 of this river that flows through Jerusalem and out into the world, lined as it is with these trees of life, is somewhat reminiscent of the image that we're presented with in Psalm 23. I need not quote it for you, but I'm going to. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Before any of these readings that we've heard this morning, all with their visions of creation and the world, before any of them speak to us of the trustworthiness of God, which surely they do, they present to us this earthly vision of both recreation and recreation. It's always one of the problems when the minister picks that first hymn that we sang, "Morning is Broken." There's that word in it. Recreation, but half this congregation always says recreation because it's the same word. And it's just a different way of saying the syllable. But we are, and perhaps that's a right thing as we think about this passage this morning, because we are presented with both recreation in these images and recreation. The recreation of sitting in the shade of these great trees that protect any who might gather underneath them from the scorching sun, that render forth fruit all year long, right? You picked that up. 12 different kinds of fruit, one for each month, all year long. There's no fallow season and harvest season, but each month has its own fruit. So that we sit beneath these marvelous, wonderful trees that provide for us everything with flowing water, fresh water, going by close at hand to sustain both those marvelous trees and ourselves. It is a reclaiming, a recreation of the image that we're presented with in Genesis of that first garden. But Revelation 22 acknowledges our need for healing. That the world needs to be transformed from what it has been to be able to become what God has envisioned it to be. As we've been moving through this series of sermons on creation and climate change, we've been talking about things. Hopefully there's nothing is anything that's been surprising, but I don't know about you, as I watch the news each week, there are always things that come to mind that somebody says, somebody reflects on the changes that are happening in the world around us, and I go, you know, I never thought about that before. I never looked at it in that way. I never thought of that implication of a changing climate on our world. And so, as we said during our moment when we paused for young and young at heart, the first thing that we must bring to this great endeavor that is ours to look at and to address a world that is changing because of the effects of man and industrialization is to begin with knowledge. To commit ourselves to learning about what is happening in the environment and in our world. Even when it's not on front page news because something horrible and catastrophic is happening somewhere in the world. And then to think about kind of what that means for us. One of the first things, I told you I was going to be very, very practical and very, very positive. One of the first things that any of us can do to figure out, to come to some sense of that knowledge is, and for anyone with a computer, you can go into whatever your favorite search engine is, and you can type in carbon calculator and figure out how much carbon you use in the run of a year. I mentioned Catherine Hayhoe several times during this series. Catherine is a Canadian-born professor of environmental science at Texas Tech University, and her husband is an evangelical pastor, so she comes from it with both a science and a faith background. And in her discussions on some of these matters, she said, for us in North America, we use somewhere between 16 and 18 tons of carbon a year, or we produce that, which is about 4 tons more than our next nearest neighbors in the world. We in North America are pretty bad in that respect. So it starts with figuring out, where am I being part of the problem? And then from there, figuring out how to be part of the solution. It can be easy things, like changing the incandescent light bulb in a light fixture to an LED light bulb, because the LEDs run on significantly less energy. That alone, if you changed all of the light bulbs in your house to LED light bulbs, could save you 85% of the cost of turning on the lights. So sometimes it's something really simple, right? Change a light bulb. At some point, a light's going to blow. I just noticed that we have a light out up here this morning. At some point in your house, a light's going to blow. And you can put an LED bulb in that, and it will be part of changing the world. Small part, but a part. When it comes time to replace appliances, we can look for the appliances that are the most energy efficient. We can go really, really wild. When we were thinking about moving here, it's going to be a much longer task than I wish it had been. But when we were thinking about moving here and buying our own home again, I started thinking about, wouldn't it be great if we could buy a home and make it into a net zero home? A net zero home is a home that requires no input for its operation, that its electricity and all of those things mostly come from within, a windmill or solar panels on the roof feeding into a battery in the basement, and then you just run the house off of your own stuff. And imagine, no bill from Cornwall Electric at the end of the month. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Don't tell Cornwall Electric I said that. But right, you know, I mean, we think about those bills that come in, but there are ways to mitigate some of those things. So that's one way. Small changes and things to our diet, eating food that's more locally grown rather than some of the things in our grocery store that comes from, oh, I don't know, so far away. And the worst part about fruit that comes from so far away is that it's hard as a rock for the first week that you've got it home and you can't eat it anyway. And then it's good for one day, and then it starts to go. Have you noticed that? So buy a local peach or an apple and eat local food. Eat more plants, because we can grow lots of plants than we do meat, and reduce that. Or grow your own, which a lot of people got into over the pandemic. There's a bunch of simple little things that we can do. Drink water out of the tap. You can put it in a bottle. You can take it with you somewhere. I know these are horribly convenient, but it still means at the end of our horribly convenient process that this has to go somewhere and something has to happen to it. Whereas my water bottle, which you can have customized to whatever you want, my water bottle has been with me for, oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years and hasn't failed me yet, and it's metal, so I don't think it's going to fail anytime soon. So there are a couple of little things. The thing that always shocks us in our house is these. There's like one a day of these, or there can be. Coffee cups, disposable drink containers, And some of them are hard, right? Because they come with the fancy little icy drink in it that you like so much. But know every time that we get one of these, something has to happen to it. It's not the world's most friendliest means of conveyance. I wish manufacturers would go back to glass bottles. Because glass you can recycle. A plastic bottle, not so much. Walk to work. Take the transit. Say hello to Kenny in the morning. Zoom to work if you can. We've all gotten so good at Zooming over the past 2 years. Let's keep that up and find ways that if you can, that we will make connections with others by doing different things. Become an advocate for mass transit. My girls wanted to go to a concert in Montreal this weekend, and so I, as a loving father, drove them to the EXO site, the commuter train station in Vaudreuil, so that they could then connect to the system. But wouldn't it be nice if we had that system around throughout our country? It's one of the most amazing things. We're one of few places in the world that doesn't have good ways to travel, a good train system that gets you places. And I know people say, oh, but we live in Canada and Canada's so big. And that's true. Canada's much bigger than Japan, where Jamila is and enjoys high-speed trains that just dazzle our minds, or Europe. And there are people there are politicians who will say that, oh, well, we can't do high-speed stuff because, well, we can't build railways in Canada. And I think every time I hear that, wasn't this the country that was built on a railway? Didn't Gordon Pinson write the book Last Spike? Well then, maybe it's time for us to start redoing things and doing a first spike. So we need to become advocates to our government leaders to do that. And it's unfortunate. Catherine Hayhoe is reflecting upon the American experience, but it's not much different here in Canada, makes note that most of the debate that we have about around climate change is not scientific debate. The science is pretty much settled. Scientists pretty much know what's going on. It's a political debate. And one wing of the political spectrum doesn't want to acknowledge that it even exists. And we will never have the change that we need when that's the case. And to that particular end of the political spectrum, I would say they need to take it seriously because it impinges on their electability. Or how about this? The World Evangelical Alliance, a confederation of evangelical churches, has set the target of having solar panels on 20% of their churches by 2025, I think is their deadline. 25% of their churches will have solar panels. Why can't we become one of those churches? I won't send everybody up to look out the custodian's office, but as you go out and walk past the gymnasium, look up to that great, wonderful, vast expanse of flat roof. It'd be a wonderful place to put a bunch of solar panels. Just saying. Why can't we be one of those churches? We can advocate for more efficient buildings. Now, I can't remember. I'm just going to throw this out since I feel like getting in trouble today. I can't remember, but I think somebody said this is the third or the fourth building that St. John's Presbyterian Church has called home. What if we started imagining what the next home for St. John's Presbyterian Church looked like? And what if we took some of this stuff that we've been talking about our responsibility as Christian stewards to be caring for the creation, and that all that we do contributes to that, and started throwing that into the mix of what would it mean if we had a net zero building, or a building with lots of solar panels and passive heating and things in it, so that we could reduce its carbon footprint to next to nothing. It probably would be a little bit more efficient than some of the corners of the building where the wind blows through when winter comes. But that's just something for us to wonder about, to dream about, and maybe to tie into other aspects of the mission and ministry of our congregation that we might want to do, to have a loftier mission goal of rent geared to income, a housing project, or something else that would make use of the space that we have here at the heart of our city and make us a place where really we start to engage both theologically and practically with our world and the challenges that are part of it. Just a thought. I'll leave that with you. All of these things are practical things. I wanted to be practical, and I want it to be positive. All of these things are positive change. Little things that we can do from light bulbs and turning off lights when we don't use them. Oh, I heard a great thing. As you can tell, I have been immersing myself in this stuff for the last month. I'm gonna be looking at you. You're gonna be walking down the hall in this church, and I'm gonna say, "Hey, did you know I heard that?" For the next 6 months, I am. I heard a wonderful thing. It sounded so simple. It was like, why don't we do this? And it was somebody who said, every home that gets built should have a switch by the door so that when you go out, you turn off all of the electricity in the house except for the refrigerator and the freezer or a couple of circuits. And then your house just goes quiet for a day and draws none of that electricity that we use to keep I know your VCR is going to start flashing 12, 12, 12, 12, 12 again. But you know what? It's been doing that for 30 years anyway. It doesn't matter now. Right? You know, some of those little conveniences might not be there like they were, but there's so much of our life works on the idea that everything is just waiting for us to turn it on, even when you've left the house to go visit family for 2 or 3 weeks. It's still there, waiting for you. So you can unplug your appliances when you go away. Or that wonderful switch. I love that idea. Now I have to rewire the whole house. Just things for us to think about. As we think about what does it mean to be stewards of God's creation? And how can we make a better earth? We can do things ourselves. And we can then advocate for others to do things too. Because even if all of us did all of those things, we wouldn't get to perfect. We'd get to better. But we need governments working with industry to really make things perfect. So all of those things. But advocating and letting our elected leaders know that these are priorities for us. So those are just a few thoughts. Those are my good thoughts. And I know some of them are easy, some of them are hard, some of them are small. And yet, what was it she said? If every person in the United States, they're bigger than us, so it's an easier thing to do, put LED light bulbs in their building, in their homes, it would be like taking 800,000 cars off the road or something, some really incredibly silly number like that. just by screwing in a light bulb. And like I say, I've been stumbling across this stuff for the last month. I know you have too. You probably have your own ideas. Maybe we should get together over lemonade at the end of the service and you can say, well, I like the idea about the light switch, but what about? Because we can all have a what about, our what about moments. But let us work together to live out our faith in real and tangible ways, right? Sometimes we say, oh, sometimes faith just seems so airy-fairy. But in this particular case, we can do real and tangible things that will have a real and tangible effect on our world and the world that God created. And we will enable others to live and to enjoy life and enjoy it abundantly. We will move off this series sermon now. Next week we're not going to be doing creation for all of those who are ready for a change. But these are some simple things we can do. So let us dare to be people of faith and to look for new ways to live in the world that God has given to us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our mission moment for this morning is that will appear on the screens while the offering is being picked up has to do with the work that we do with to help women to be educated and to engage in their own worlds and communities where they are. So please do make note of that as the offering is being collected this morning. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For these sacrifices are pleasing to our Lord. Let us present our tithes and our offerings to God. Let us pray. Faithful God, you bless us in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so we praise you with our lips that confess his name and ask your blessing on these gifts for the life of our world. May our generosity be part of the recreation of a new day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And once more, let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you have ordered us to live as loving neighbors. Though we are scattered in different places and speak different languages or descend from different races, give us common concern so that we may be one people who share the governing of the world under your guiding purpose. May greed, war, and lust for power be curbed, and all people enter the community of love promised in Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray for your creation, O God, that we may be faithful stewards and tend to its needs. May it continue to be a land of richness and blessing that sustains life and gives forth to all who have need the provisions for each day. We pray for those who suffer the effects of climate change this day, and especially we hold before you the people of Pakistan who are trying to imagine new life as a result of flooding. As we are confronted by the challenges that lie ahead of us, may we never lose heart, O God, but may we be inspired by your wisdom so that we may become your co-workers in this crucial task. Help us to advocate for your creation with elected leaders and all those who are in authority, and may they see the rich benefit that is theirs by heeding your call to be stewards. We pray this day, O God, for all who are in need, for those who are ill and those who are in hospital, for those who are lonely and alone. May they know your presence and feel your healing touch. Be with us all, O God, and keep us ever steadfast in our faith as we await for the day of your coming, when you will gather together all of your people, both those in heaven and those on earth, to sing your praise around your glorious throne. Until then, may we hold steadfastly to the prayer that Jesus taught us as we pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise is the hymn, To Show by Touch and Word. The words will appear before you on the screen, or if you would like to follow along in the hymn book, it is at 763. Your word in human form.
with us that we may have your wits about us where we live.
And now let us go out into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore.